that's the first thing we heard when preaching about Christmas. It's probably quite different. You may not have heard that before. You may not have heard what I'm going to say this morning. I would encourage you to read this thing. Read the Bible. See if what I said is biblical or not. Most of what we're hearing about Christmas is traditional and not biblical. So have a read of the Word, see what it says. Last week I took you through what was not in the Bible. He wasn't born in a stable, or it doesn't actually say that explicitly, did it? No, we spoke about a building that had animal stalls in it, because there was a manger there. And we'll see more about that later. I told you he wasn't born in a stable by the inn, but it doesn't actually say that in the Bible. I showed you that the Bible doesn't say that the wise men were there at his birth. They were there at a different time. You'll see that today, when the shepherds are in first, and the wise men are in later. It didn't come at the same time. The wise men didn't follow a star to the stable in the inn. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does not say that the cattle were lowing. And there was another one. What did you tell me last week? Oh, it says this, but it was another song.
We Three Kings.
We Three Kings of what? Is it Bible? What's Three Kings? It says We Three Kings of what? It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's a traditional song. So, we saw what tradition says, and this week, they say never work with kids and with them, but you've got to give it a bash. Well, my great help with that back there, we're going to show you the true nativity. That's what I plan to show you today. We plan to show you what the Bible says. I would like to think that everything we're going to do this morning, possibly, maybe with the exception of the speaking laugh, is biblical. You never know, there might have been. Did the shepherds give the Passover lambs names? It might be a word of knowledge that one of them is called Lambert. But we'll see. So we're going to have a very short activity play. It is very short. How many scenes is it? Five or six?
Six.
And then afterwards, I'm going to take you through what I believe the Bible actually says about the birthplace of Jesus and who saw and why it's so important. So, the NGF players, would you like to come and get ready? So there you have it, really quickly. And what to do really quickly, because there's not a lot in the Bible, actually, in the Gospels, about the birth scene of Jesus. There's not all these traditions that have been built up in the Bible. So we just want to do really quickly and show you that. A biblical, within reason, nativity. Lambert, brilliant as usual. I'm not sure if he was actually a Passover lamb, because if he was spotless and perfect, he would be sacrificed. So there must be some kind of blemish on him that he was still here. So yes, we had wise men. More than three. It could have been two, maybe three, four, five. I don't know. Yeah, a little bit of artistic license, because the scripture, yes, does say they were men. But we don't have enough men in the church to be shepherds and wise men. So we'll have to have ladies and wise men. And you saw the wise men go meeting Jesus in the family home. That's biblical. About 2 years later, they wore a nice hat. The wise men didn't go to Bigladea to meet Jesus at his birth. They were there, but 2 years later, in the family home in Nazareth. And I keep going on about that, and there might be some of you said, well, what's the big deal? I spent said about that last week. He was born, wasn't he? That was the important thing. Yes, I get that. But when he was born, who saw him? That's of vital importance as well. And I do keep harping on about it. Oh, well, why does he keep going about the wise men not being at his birth? because I want to get across to you that the only people that were there at his birth were Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. I don't know how many shepherds, doesn't say. It could be 2, 3, or 4 because it is plural. But the shepherds were there. I want to make a big deal of that. Not a big deal about the wise men not being there. But if we can get rid of the wise men, or that's not right. You know what I mean? If we can remove them from the birthplace and put them in their right place, that's great. But they weren't there. I want to emphasise that. You might also think, well, what are you making a big deal about not being a stable by the end? Does it really matter when you're born, as long as you're born? Oh, this is a huge deal. This is really big once you understand this. My understanding of scripture, I know some of you will have heard this by now, they tell you about Matilda Dare. It is just the most, if you think nuns is good in typology, yeah, this is my typology. The typology in this is just amazing. I believe that the Bible, where is it? Where's my Bible? Here it is. The Bible points to a place called Magdalene Dare that being the birthplace of Jesus. There's not a lot of scriptures about it. You have to write and divide the word. You have to look at it in context. You have to look at it with other documents. Oh, don't normally do that thing. But there's good Jewish writings that help us with this. I believe that the Bible points us to say that Jesus was born in this place called Magdalene Dare, just on the edge of Bethlehem. The scriptures tell us that Jesus the Messiah would be born at Bethlehem. We know that, don't we? Did we look at that last week?
Yeah.
Did we? Micah 5:2. And also Micah 4:8 talks about this place called the Watchtower of the Flock. Translated, that's Magdalene Dare. The Gospels tell us he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Does it? It does actually, yes, correct. The Gospels tell us that Jesus was going to be born in, at, or near Bethlehem. That's why you need to have a little bit of Greek. Or need to know a little bit of Greek, or a concordance. So that little word that's translated as in means on, at, or near. And you do know that Bethlehem was more than just a town. Yeah, it was the surrounding area. How many of you know that Avis is bigger than Elgin? Yeah, Avis is bigger than Elgin. It doesn't have as many houses, it doesn't have as many people, but the actual area, the parish of Avis, is bigger than Elgin. Heard a great thing about Elgin yesterday, sorry, but from somebody before us, talking about Elgin. He said, oh, you mean Elgin, USA? And I said, no, not Elgin in Illinois near Chicago. And he went, no, Elgin, USA, other side of Avis. So, you got a bad spelling together as well. So this place, Bethlehem, on our near, it was a big place. It wasn't just the houses, it wasn't just the end of the staple. So the Gospels do say he was born in our near Bethlehem. And if you read Micah and get the context that that's talking about the coming Messiah, who we know is Jesus. Talks about this place called Magdalene Dare. History and archaeology helps us here as well. Do you know that there's loads of archaeological evidence to show that the Bible is true? You need to come to Bible school, don't you, ladies? And you'll find out about that archaeology and that. History and archaeology tells us about this place from out of the Bible called Magdalene Dare as well. Right on the edge of Bethlehem. The big round stone building, Watchtower of the Flock, used to keep sheep, hence Lambert. But not just any sheep. You see, there was this place on the edge of Bethlehem, and today it's called Shepherd's Field. And back then, archaeology shows us that there was this place called Magdalene Dare, where the temple flock was kept. You know the big temple? In Jerusalem, where the Jews used to go have their sacrifices and their worship and their praise, and the Lord inhabited. And the shepherds there that looked after them were special shepherds. They didn't go to the pub. But then, I've often thought, I would like quite like a pub ministry. Somebody needs to go there.
Amen.
Somebody needs to go there and spread the word, shepherds. So that's great. But these were special shepherds. They were the temple shepherds, and they were based at Migdal-Adar, looking after the sheep. That's why they were the first people to see Jesus, because they were there. I used to wonder that these shepherds were on a dereliction of duty, because they're supposed to be out looking after the flocks, and they wander off to meet this new Messiah. They didn't wander off, they just wandered over. Because they were there. That's where they lived and worked, in this place called Migdal-Adar. Jerome, who was a saint and a writer, early church, spoke of this place at Bethlehem. He spoke about this place called Migdal-Adar. Now look it up if you want on the internet. There's loads of information about Migdal-Adar. Massive evidence, historical, archaeological, and most importantly, biblical, about this place called Migdal-Adar. Now, let's just go back to the word again for a while. We know Jesus was born in a place where animals were kept. Why do we know that? Because they lived in a manger. Manger, the Greek word, is for animal feeding stall or animal feeding station. Green box for a manger. So we know he was born in an animal building where they fed animals. And it was in Art or near Bethlehem. Because he was born and put in a manger. Plenty of mangers in Migdal-Adar. Because that's where all the sheep were fed. That's where all the Passover lambs were born. So I think this adds up. And once you know other scriptures, once you know about the mission of Jesus, once you know about why he came to deal with all our sin, to be that sacrificial lamb on the cross, it's obvious that he was born in Migdal-Adar. I can't say 100% hand on heart that the Bible explicitly says it. But if you put all these scriptures together, add them up, what we know from history, what we know from archaeology, what we know from typology, what we know from what Jesus actually does later in his life, we can see that this adds up. But of course he wasn't born in a stable. And of course the wise men weren't there at his birth. He was born in Migdal-Adar, where all the other Passover lambs were born. And he was inspected by the shepherds and inspected every other sacrificial lamb in the run-up to Jesus being born. Look with me at 1 Peter 1. Silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. No, it's not. I don't like tradition. But with the precious blood of Christ, and as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Jesus Christ, described in Scripture as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was then sacrificed for the sin of people. Jesus was a sacrificial lamb. Where else would he be born? Where the other sacrificial lamb had been born? It's kind of obvious. Look at John 1:29. Now I know people are going to come against me, but that he was born in a stable. The Bible says so. Show me. John 1 verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. See, John knew it. John knew it. Here's a sacrificial lamb. Jesus. Jesus was the best sacrificial lamb was ever born. after 33 years. They start planning for their retirement. Got a retirement plan. So here's the shepherd's retirement plan. Oh, here's Jesus, the Messiah. They would have got that significance. Because all these people knew their word back then. So they're not like us. They could take book after book after book and recite it. I can just about get Genesis 1-1. Sometimes. Can anyone quote Galatians word for word? Philippians word for word? These guys could. Well, they could in Galatians and Philippians because that would be written. But the Old Covenant, which is all about Jesus. These guys knew what was coming when he told the angel Lord the Messiah's there. Oh, and the scripture's all about the prophecies of the Messiah would be popping out of their heads. Because they were known. They knew fine well that Jesus was a sacrificial lamb. So yeah, they start planning for their retirement. Jesus was the best, and he was going to be the last. That's why I started on that bit. He was going to be the last sacrificial lamb that was ever needed. And he was born where every other sacrificial lamb was born. Born at Mount Gilead. That is my biblical understanding. I can't state this fact, but I'm pretty sure about that. And that is an astounding piece of typology. The first time I kind of grasped that, it was my mouth dropped open, and then Nancy eloquently put it in our teaching with Bible students. But yeah, you remember, Jesus was actually sacrificed on the Passover as well. So not only was he born in the place with the sacrificial lambs, he was killed on the same day. So he was killed. Sacrificed. Let himself be killed. Sacrificed on Passover. Same day as the other sacrificial lambs. Wonderful piece of typology. I think it has to be the best piece of typology in the whole Bible. And 99.9% of believers don't even know it. Why? Because he was born in a stable by the end and the wise men were there. That's been stolen. What did tradition do? They spoil things. They spoil us. Things are stolen from us. We're stolen away. The blessings are stolen. The blessings of knowing. Blessing of knowing about the birth of Jesus through when he was born and who saw him. It is just beautiful. Yeah. It's the most wonderful picture in the whole scripture, if you can understand it. He was born there, they saw him. That tells us why he was born, the reason for his birth. That he's going to be our sacrificial lamb. But that's all lost. All that typology is lost. Because we're all worried about how you spell frankincense and myrrh. What's the name of those guys again? What wise men? I don't know. But they've got new prancer and dancer. Very funny. The picture's stolen. And well, you do, because you're blessed. But I think we're blessed by knowing this. Because, I don't know, just Christmas has been hijacked by nonsense and commercialism and consumerism and gluttony and... By the way, I love Christmas. All of this. It's been hijacked. But when you understand that the birth of Jesus, and you can celebrate that, then it's pointing to his death and what he's going to do. Are you celebrating that this guy came to die for it? Yes, absolutely. I am absolutely celebrating it. Because of that, I'm righteous, healed, prosperous, whole, accepted, and the beloved, adopted. It's awesome. Guys, we need to understand this, and I tell you now, if you're sitting in those seats this time next year, guess what I'm going to be preaching on? Mictlantecuhtli! It is so important. Yes, it's very important that he was born
I get that.
But we need to really know where, who saw, and why that's important. Wonderful, beautiful bit of typology. Can you see why that, in the way that this has been stolen from us? I remember nativities in the past. Nobody wanted to be a shepherd. Oh, for the Lord, you want an innkeeper first, and then the wise men, and the shepherds. It's like, well, who have we got left? You can be the shepherds. It's a bit like that when I used to play football at school. There were four or five of us left. Oh, I have to be a defender. Oh, I have to be a shepherd. No, I love to be a shepherd! Because they're the most important, apart from Jesus, they're the most important people in the story, in the account. Yeah, shepherds are the most important people in this account. The shepherds were the first people to look at the Passover lambs and see that they were perfect for the job they were supposed to do. You know what they then did? When they saw that they were perfect and they needed to be protected, they wrapped them up in swaddling clothes and kept them safe. Even being wrapped up in swaddling clothes is a picture of Jesus being a sacrificial lamb. Absolutely beautiful. Of course, it was the temple shepherds that were the first to see Jesus. Somebody's going to take the box. Yep, perfect. No spots, no blemishes, sacrificial lamb. Let's go down the pub and tell everybody. Down the town. Tell everybody. Hallelujah. Being born in the village there, being born in that watchtower of the flock, tells us about his mission. Tells us why he came. Tells us what he's going to do. We don't have to wait until the end of the story to see what's coming. By being born there, we can see what's coming. Amazing piece of typology. I started this a couple of weeks ago to warn you to read your Bibles. Don't let traditions steal away the truth of the Word. Don't let the traditions about communion steal away the beauty of communion, about being a time for you to focus on Jesus. Don't let traditions of men steal away the truth that's in this Word, that every single one of you has been forgiven for every sin you've ever done, you've ever doing, and even thinking about planning for later on in the day. You've been forgiven. It's not an excuse to do it. But you've been forgiven. Don't let traditions have you on your knees begging for forgiveness from the Father. Because that puts a barrier between you and him. How can you have a full relationship with someone if you think he's still got something against you? You can see that in personal lives. If you think someone's got something against you, you know, you just don't relate to them fully. So don't let tradition steal that from you. Don't let tradition say you have to work in order to be loved, accepted, healed. Don't let tradition say, oh, there must be some sin in your life to stop you from healing, from receiving healing. Don't let traditions steal that from you. I'm using the example of the work of Jesus to show you that there are truths in here that will set you free if you don't let traditions bind you up. So once again, the bottom line is, people, read your work. Mm-hmm. Or rather, rightly divide it. Study it. I'm sure you know, one of the great examples is about the wise men. If you just read it, you can see they couldn't have been there as far. But we just take that as gospel, because it's been traditionally told to us. So, warning at Christmas time. Understand your Bible, especially about the birth of Jesus. And don't let the enemy steal this truth from you about his birth. About it being a picture, a bit of typology about what he's going to do and how he's going to die, but what he's going to do for you. Don't let the enemy steal that for you. Hallelujah.
We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.